Pop-Up Theatre presents Holmes Sweet Homes, a Sherlock Holmes review, hosted by Alexandria Kay.
Welcome, listeners, to Holmes Sweet Homes, another Sherlockian podcast interview. Today, I have two guests, Howard Ostrom and Benita Hiley. We'll be speaking to Benita later on, as we have Howard here with us now, who is a leading authority on the history of Sherlock Holmes in the media. Welcome to the show, Howard.
Happy to be here, Alex. I've always enjoyed Scott McQuaid's stage and audio Sherlockian productions.
Thanks, Howard. I'm sure he'll be very happy to hear that. So, you're the chief of staff for the No Place Like Holmes website that contains of numerous essays you have written on the great detective, and not to mention the author of the ongoing book series Sherlock Holmes on Screens. And for the benefit of our listeners, we'll explain what your book series Sherlock Holmes on Screens is about. It's basically an encyclopedia addressing all adaptations of Sherlock Holmes on stage, screen, and audio from all around the world, correct?
That's the premises of it. The book series is actually completely written, and it covers all the appearances of Sherlock Holmes and quasi-appearances of Sherlock Holmes from 1900 through to present. By quasi-Sherlock Holmes, I refer to comedians, skits, productions, people running around in deerstalker hats in films and TV shows and sitcoms, because all these little incidents place Sherlock Holmes in someone's mind when they're viewing media. And the book deals with the visuals more than anything. And film, TV, and internet appearances are only included in the book, which number well over 1,500 at last count. But the A to Z list, as we speak, is at 8,756 entries and going up daily.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty amazing. And something to note for our avid listeners of Pop-Up Theatre's Sherlock Holmes Factual Fiction audio plays, Howard has included our very own Sherlock actor, Paul Zaraga, in his book.
Yeah, well, start off by Paul Zaraga. He's not the only one on Scott's actors who entered in the A to Z. When initially I was writing a paper on the first Sherlock Holmes by country around the world, when I came across Raoul Dylan Horgrath in Scott's play The Show Must Go On in 2018. And then I followed up with Brian Tang in The Missing Script and Damon Zachary in Finding Sherlock. According to my records, the first original Sherlock Holmes plays in Malaysia.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you've also been a very big supporter of our Sherlock Holmes audio plays. Do you have a favorite episode?
My favorite one, probably off the top of my head, would be Wolves in Exile, because I really like the Hunting Hitler documentaries, and he uses a lot of information from those in it. Naturally, being an American and Hollywood and growing up on Superman with the actor George Reeves, Hollywood Kryptonite is another one I enjoyed listening to. And the Black Dahlia, that's a really interesting case. So those are the first three that come to mind for me. The audio plays and Scott's style with this conspiracy theory, a lot of people have done them now on Jack the Ripper, which I believe was one of Scott's early audio ones, I mean his first. They interest me a lot in that there are all these conspiracy stories which everybody knows about. And he puts a fun turn. They're really good to listen to.
Thanks very much. It's lovely to know that we have the Howard Ostrom stamp of approval there. Now, Sherlock Holmes has certainly evolved over time since Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's original depiction, as well as through actors' interpretations, as you would have seen firsthand when documenting all these portrayals. So what are some of the changes that were introduced?
That's a complicated question. To make it simpler, I'll just boil it down into two generalities. First, the depictions of Sherlock Holmes, the majority of serious productions, probably since 1899, are all based on a William Gillette stage appearance of Holmes, more so than Conan Doyle's original depictions, or should we say Sidney Pageant's illustrations. Doyle only gave us a basic description. He did not give us a deerstalker hat and a pipe and a bunch of different things. But Sidney Pageant drew some in, and really, that's what everybody pictures as Sherlock Holmes. And all the productions have used that since. But now, since 2010, with the introduction of the BBC Sherlock and the modern Sherlock productions, many of the depictions of Holmes are now based on the Benedict Cumberbatch model. You know, the overcoat with the red buttonhole and scarf and the purple shirt. Nowadays, you see that a lot more. So the changes mainly are media-based. I mean, they weren't from the story.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see Sherlock's evolution over the years. Now, second only to the character Dracula, Sherlock Holmes is the most portrayed literary character in film, if I'm not mistaken. So, Howard, why do we like Sherlock Holmes?
That you give credit to Arthur Conan Doyle for his fantastic writing. We can all visualize Holmes as a real person. He doesn't rely on unbelievable superpowers. I've read where people polled a majority, actually, it was 40-50% of the people in London, when asked if Sherlock Holmes was real or not, thought he was real. Just recently, I went to a school for disabled children, and they wanted to talk on Sherlock Holmes, and many of the parents were there in the audience, too. And to start it out, to see what level of people I was going to speak to. So my first question was, is Sherlock Holmes real? If you think he's real, raise your hand. And 80% of the parents raised their hand. They thought he was real, and only one or two kids raised their hand. You have to give the credit to the writing for that question. Conan Doyle was a superb writer, and he's unmatched. And that's why no other literary character is probably as admired.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, when I was in London, I went to the Sherlock Holmes Museum, and I definitely stepped out of there believing he was real. I mean, the museum is in Sherlock's actual flat, 221B, on Baker Street. And it's set up room by room exactly how you would imagine him living in there, from the lived-in furniture to the wallpaper to the bullet holes spelling out VR that he shot into the wall. And just the way the tour guide and the voiceovers in the museum were speaking about him, it was as if he actually existed, or maybe even exists. And there's statues of him everywhere in London next to, like, Churchill, so they definitely do make it out as if he's real, so I really don't blame anyone who thinks he is, honestly. Now, speaking of the documentation of Sherlock, why did you put together your Sherlock Holmes A to Z list?
Because I'm insane, I guess. Actually, what started, it was a succession of things. I was a collector and a Sherlockian, and I had to move around for my job. So rather than move books around, which was hard, I traded some of my books for autographs. And I set home for 2 months to sell a house, and I wrote every single person alive that I could get an agent's address, a home address, a theater address they're at. And I got the autographs of all the Sherlock Holmes actors. And I thought there was only so many. I thought it was finite. But then I started researching, and it's infinite. It's incredible. And when I was discussing it with the famous Sherlockian Peter Blau from the Baker Street Irregulars group, I said, I'm going to make up an A to Z list and just save the pictures and the productions as a reference work for me. And he said, you're insane. He said, you know, it's an impossible mission. And you just don't tell me something's impossible. So I started on it, and I've been going on it, and I've got support from all over the world. I mean, name the country, Japan, Germany, Italy. Any time something's new in a film or media or picture, they all tend to send them to me now, and I identify them and I stick them in the A to Z list, and it just keeps growing every day. Keeps me up every night. But I just love doing it, I guess, is why I do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm going to end it, though, at 10, when I hit the number 10,000. I think I'm going to call it top 10,000 Sherlock Holmes characters, and that's it.
I know the list shall be missed by many when that day comes. Now, we asked most of our Sherlockian guests this question, but it seems it may be a very difficult question for you in particular. But we'll see. So, who is your definitive Sherlock?
That's not a hard one to answer. It just depends on what day you ask me. I have so many. Boy, if I had to name one, I couldn't do it. I would say maybe Basil Rathbone, naturally, because he was my first, basically, and I grew up with him. I love Benedict Cumberbatch, Jeremy Brett. He's still right behind those others. I really love the Japanese woman who played it in Miss Sherlock. I'm a big ballet fan, and Sadler Wells did a ballet called The Great Detective with Sir Kenneth MacMillan. And that's a big favorite of mine, which people would never consider, I don't think.
Okay, so you've named a few, but do you have a favorite?
The most favorite? I guess my favorite Sherlock Holmes film, The Scarlet Claw, which is Basil Rathbone. So I guess Basil Rathbone, if I have to name one. If you put me on the spot, I'll take Basil.
There you go. You got there in the end. Now, with Sherlock being beloved by so many, we find that there are a lot of Sherlockians out there who are, let's just say, sort of purists in a way. they're definitely stuck to the original Arthur Conan Doyle depiction and find it a little bit hard when a new version of the Great Detective is portrayed or written differently. What about you then?
I like entertainment. As long as it's entertaining, I don't have to have the strict Conan Doyle rules. That's more of a literary society. Me, if it's entertaining, I love it. And your stuff is highly entertaining. A lot of them would protest that, your choices, but to me, it's super entertaining. And that's what's important.
And does the Sherlock A to Z list include, say, animations?
Oh, I got hundreds of animated. One guy in my office is fanatic watching animes, and every clip where the Sherlock Holmes character comes in, he sends me. I end up writing more notes for my book on the animes. There was a tremendous one out the last couple of years, was a Japanese one, Moriarty the Patriot. Now that I enjoyed watching.
I'll have to check that one out then. Well, now it's time for me to wrap it up with you, Howard. Thank you so much for chatting with me. It was a lot of fun and it's definitely been an educational one.
I'm very happy you had me on here and thanks for having me.
It was lovely to have you. So if you want to keep updated with Howard's book, Sherlock Holmes on Screens, then you can visit his website at sherlock-holmes-on-screens.com. Or if you're interested in reading some of his essays attributed to the Great Detective, you can visit his No Place Like Home site at nplh.co.uk. Is there anywhere else our listeners can keep up with you online, Howard?
Yeah, Daily is on Facebook, where I've posted a lot about your productions. Sherlock Holmes on Screens. It's a misleading title, but we discuss everything. Stage plays, anything new coming out, stories, comic books. I mean, everything's on Sherlock Holmes on Screens on Facebook. And I hope you all can join that, all the listeners. And if you don't mind, I'd love to give a shout out to Raisa Osipova, who's listening from Russia. She's my inspiration in everything I do, pretty much.
Oh, great little shout out there. Hello to Raisa. Thanks for listening. All right, I'll let you go now, Howard, as we have our next guest waiting eagerly on the line. We look forward to seeing more Holmes entries and all things Sherlock from you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, we're going to have a quick chat with author Benita Hiley, who released her first Sherlock Holmes book, entitled Devon Holmes, The Letter of Scarlet, earlier this year. Welcome to the show, Benita.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me on here.
No worries. Now, despite having other titles published previously, this will be your first book in the Sherlock Holmes universe, am I right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, of course, there's a lot of spin-offs to Sherlock Holmes, as we just talked about with Howard, and we continue that canon with your book, Bonita. So what drew you to The Great Detective?
Well, it was a great Jeremy Brett that did it for me. I was fascinated by him. I found out that it was in public domain starting January of 2023, and I was very excited. So I went ahead and did it. I just went ahead and finally did my mystery I always wanted to do with Sherlock Holmes.
Right. Now, this book features a new addition to the Sherlock Holmes canon, that being Devon Holmes, who is Harold Holmes' great-grandniece, and she is in search of Sherlock Holmes with Detective John Watson by her side on this adventure. So what can we expect from this new character, Devon Holmes?
Well, she's a descendant of the Holmes family of today. She has traits like her great-great-grandfather, of which one, Sherlock Holmes or Mycroft Holmes, she does not know yet. She's adventurous and finding the truth in clues. She's a bit of a tomboy, but still displays in her womanly ways around Detective John Watson, which he also is a descendant from the Dr. John Watson. She's determined to find the answers, but her adventures sometimes gets her in trouble and with the aid of Watson. But I must include that John Watson to be as much as a hero as she is.
And is your plan to make this a series like the Enola Holmes mysteries?
Yes, indeed. In fact, I'm currently writing book two. But yes, I'm definitely going to be writing a series on this.
Right. We look forward to that. Now, can readers expect Sherlock Holmes to make any appearances in the book?
Oh, yes, there will be. So, yeah, there's going to be some flashbacks. And what she reads in these letters, she gets closer and closer to the truth of which one of her great-grandfather is which one. And she eventually will find out, but I guess that's part of the mystery.
So what about Devon's granduncle, Harold Holmes? What part does he play in Devon's adventures?
Well, he's quite knowledgeable of what was going on behind the scenes, and she doesn't know. And she's very sly and trying to get the answers from her great uncle. And he tries not to give up too much, and he's trying to protect her. And she's trying to figure out why, and she gets in all sorts of trouble. You know, she finally meets, you know, the bad person of the Moriarty here, and it gets quite involved.
Right. So you've mentioned Jeremy Brett sort of being your ultimate Sherlock Holmes, if you will, out of all the adaptations of audio, TV, and film. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. Yes. If you saw the book inside, it has a tribute to Jeremy Brett. You know, I just wanted to really put that tribute out there because Jeremy Brett was Sherlock Holmes to me, hands down. That's how I feel.
Right. Well, our time is now up here for this episode. So fellow Sherlockians, if you're interested in reading The Letter of Scarlet, it is available in paperback and ebook on most online outlets. And is there anywhere else our listeners can see your work and keep up with you online, Benita?
They can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Bonita Hiley. And also, if they want to see the video trailers for my books, I have that on YouTube also under Bonita Hiley.
Well, it's time for me to wrap it up. Thank you very much for sharing your book with us, Bonita.
Well, thank you for having me. It was very nice.
And once again, I'd like to thank both my guests, Howard and Benita, for being on the show today. And I'm sure we will be seeing much more work from you both in the Sherlockian universe. Until next time, the game is afoot.